meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Welcome, Father.
It's just one Tony and one Christina, and Nick. Tony is on his way, and it's his birthday
it's
today.
It's Tony's birthday.
So happy birthday to Tony, who should be here.
He's probably
should have been here on time.
Purposely he's not here because it's his birthday.
Perhaps. Or it could be the...
The passport. I don't think you got his passport, Father.
No, he didn't get his passport.
No, he didn't. No,
it's too late now. Because the family's coming back.
And they're coming back a couple of days.
I'm just thinking of the
expressway.
I don't know if he comes the expressway, but...
I think he does.
It's brutal. I talked to some people yesterday, and well, I was 70. It was 71 minutes when I flew in from Rochester. The flight from Rochester to Chicago was less than an hour, 50 minutes, and yet it took me 71 minutes to get from O'Hare Airport to the to St. Stan's. So anyway,
and I think people are out. Weather's beautiful. It feels
summer.
I,
and the leaves are now on the trees.
Yes.
At least over here they are. I don't know about the...
My dad took us for a drive 2 days ago in the evening to the Lakeshore Drive
and
the lakefront. It was beautiful, and a lot of the trees are...
By the way, because I haven't been in that. I haven't been on Lakeshore Drive for a long time. Are they building the museum?
There is a lot of construction going on.
There's all over the city.
All over the city.
But over by Obama,
where's that at?
It's going to be on the lake shore.
Why didn't
against
even...
the lake? They're building the presidential whatever they call it, the museum or something to that effect.
I didn't even
didn't
notice.
See,
well.
Didn't
I was more looking at the lake and.
It's on
I
the
just
lake
enjoy
side.
It. It's on the. We probably passed by. I didn't.
Did you go all the way to Hyde Park?
No, we went. We went north.
North. Okay.
Yes.
No wonder. You'd have to go south.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I gotta do that one of these days. Find the time to get.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, and it's just so nice to look out the window and see.
And see the trees,
the
buddy.
Trees,
a lot of birds.
Birds
in the morning. Yes.
So what do they say? You know, winter gives way to spring, just as life gives way to death. I mean, death gives way to life.
To life.
So what do we say that in the autumn, which is a beautiful season, my favorite,
mine too.
But the leaves,
the colors
turn all these different colors,
it's
as if to say, let the death come. It must come, and no sooner do we enjoy the beauty of autumn, but the leaves drop from the trees, and we're in the dark and barren and cold of winter. But before we blink our eyes, and really the way time is flying,
unbelievable.
We blink our eyes, and all of a sudden, you know, the sun shines, and the sky is blue, and the grass is green, and
the birds
leaves
are
on the trees, and the birds are singing, and the dogs are barking. And
yes.
And people are out.
People are out.
So
it definitely it feels like summer.
Yeah, it really looks like summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. It's I'm not ready for really extreme heat yet.
No, I'm not either. It's too hot.
Never want the extreme heat and no humidity, please. No.
Yeah, the humidity makes it more challenging.
We take
heat.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Take whatever we get. Whatever
God gives us,
we take.
Yes.
So let's pray, Christina, and then maybe we'll hope that Tony makes it in at some point. We want to at least say to him happy birthday. He's probably listening if he's in the car.
He's probably listening in the car.
So we shall pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Queen of Heaven, rejoice. Alleluia. For he whom thou didst merit to bear, alleluia, hath risen, as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God. Alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary. Alleluia. Because the Lord is truly risen. Alleluia. Let us pray. O God, who by the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, hast vouchsafed to make glad the whole world, grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may lay hold of the joys of eternal life through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father. Actually, we're in the novena. Yes. Today is the sixth day of the novena, right? Sixth?
Yes.
Is it the sixth? It is. So is it the fifth or sixth?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No, it's the seventh.
The seventh.
Yes, we were not on yesterday.
Okay. So the seventh day of the novena, Jesus, in speaking to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, he says, "Today bring to me the souls who especially venerate and glorify my mercy and immerse them in my mercy. Most merciful Jesus, whose heart is love itself, receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of those who particularly extol and venerate the greatness of your mercy. These souls are mighty with the very power of God himself. In the midst of all afflictions and adversities, they go forward, confident of your mercy, and united to you, O Jesus, they carry all mankind on their shoulders. These souls will not be judged severely, but your mercy will embrace them as they depart from this life. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon the souls who glorify and venerate your greatest attribute, that of your fathomless mercy, and who are enclosed in the most compassionate heart of Christ. These souls are a living gospel. Their hands are full of deeds of mercy, and their hearts overflowing with joy, sing a canticle of mercy to you, O Most High. I beg you, O God, show them your mercy according to the hope and trust they have placed in you. Let there be accomplished in them the promise of Jesus, who said to them that during their life, but especially at the hour of death, the souls who will venerate this fathomless mercy of his, he himself will defend as his glory. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the whole world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim the world for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our world and our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and of the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom, and the world, please, the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which we are founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting now in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
And we're going to conclude with the same. We're going to go back to that. I just thought it would just be beautiful to hear it again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Easter.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And the prayer. And then we'll come back and say happy birthday to Tony. So
no, we don't have to.
We will do that. So in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
A crown of thorns placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, "Did you forget me, Father? Did you?" They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ. Prepared to die, then lifted his face up to the sky, said, "I am coming home now, Father, to you." A reed which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory. The soldier who had used his sword to pierce the body of our Lord, said truly this was Jesus Christ, our Savior. He looked with fear upon his sword, then turned to face his Christ and Lord. Took from his head the thorny crown and wrapped him in a linen gown, then laid him down to rest inside the tomb. The holes in his hands, his feet inside. Now in our hearts we know he died.
Right back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Monsignor Charles Pope.
And I always say to my people, my parishioners, for you I'm your pastor, with you I'm your brother, but from you I'm your son, because they have formed me so beautifully over the years and taught me to trust God and to praise God. And they brought the Holy Spirit alive in me in just ways I could never have imagined, you know, coming out of seminary. I had all the intellectual stuff in the seminary, but my priestly heart has been formed by my people.
Morning Glory, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and happy birthday, Tony.
Thank you, Father.
How old are we?
We'll just leave it at that.
10 years.
You're 21?
10 years. That's the thing.
Younger.
Yeah, Nick.
Yeah.
I should be...
21?
No, we've done this to other people. I should not sit here and think you're not going to do it to me. I just don't like it.
Yeah, so, just a number.
It's funny, Father. I didn't know my age until was it on your birthday you said you were your age, and I figured, okay, yeah, I'm 10 years younger than you.
Yeah.
So that makes you, it hit me.
So you, somebody told me that don't say, so I turned 68, so that tells you if you're 10 years younger, then I've just revealed your age.
Yes, thank you.
And then I think Christine is 10 years younger than you.
Around.
Wait, no, you can't be. You can't.
No, I'm... I'm going to be 47.
No way.
Unreal. Yes, I'll be 47.
No way.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I keep thinking of you being, you know, at 21, 22, 23
when I first
years
started working.
I didn't mean to reveal your age.
No,
well,
no.
You did it.
I have no idea.
I
have no problem.
But it was kind of 10, 10, 10. I knew we were all like at, like Christine and I are about 20 years apart.
Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Remember, Father, when we went to a restaurant with the family, I think there was a visiting priest.
Mm-hmm.
And the waiter came up to me and carded me.
Right.
I was way beyond that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unreal. But somebody said, you know, don't say you're 68. Say you're, 38 times, 3 times 30. Does that make sense?
3 times 30 is 90.
38, 3 times 30? Oh, no, that would be.
No.
Oh, that would be way up
too
here.
Old.
I'm not that
that's
old.
That's too old.
Anyway, whatever it was.
I didn't think
you
were 90.
Yeah, no. Anyway, I just can't wrap my head around that.
You don't feel it, although I do feel it today because I was out doing some stuff yesterday.
Yeah. So, anyway, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Tony.
Thank you.
I want to address, which is a very difficult, the question Darlene asked about the Mary Magdalene, Jesus says, don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
But before I do that, this is what makes it so hard today. I think, you know, and in my opinion, it's what's most lacking in the society, in the world, is the virtue of humility. So this is an article I read today. A woman bans all crucifixes and any mention of religion in her home because she was dragged to church as a child.
Wow.
Woe is me.
That her parents were, as the article says, rabid Catholics. So the woman on social media went viral, revealing that the no religion safe space she's created for her new home, with thousands of people share reactions and some 1,200 comments, resulting in just fewer than 12 hours. Let's see. She described herself as a 27-year-old woman whose 32-year-old girlfriend finally moved in after they'd been dating for 3 years. She said the couple are very excited to make our apartment into our own space, since for both of us, this is the first home we've had without sharing with anyone else. She revealed that she had serious problems in her life with her mother, with both her mother and father. Her mother is still alive, the father is not. But even to the point that her mother has to cover up the crucifix that she wears around her neck when she goes into the home. So it's just a, let's see here. Anyway, there's a whole article on this, and I was reading it, and I just thought, isn't this, the problem is, you know, and I say this is where there's, you know, none of us are perfect, and we're all sinners, but we are created by God for God. We have to choose to live in God. God is not he's not a permissive God. He's, as he says of himself, I'm a demanding God. He's taken love to the extreme, you know, laying his life on the cross, manifesting his greatest attribute, as we just read, which is mercy. But because we're in the exile, because we're not home yet, because we're destined for God, And God is in our midst to the extent that we allow him into our lives. And remember, we're the church militant, so we're going to make our way through life in the midst of imperfection and disorder and the like, but we strive to for a higher standard. But I just, you know, you hear this so often from so many people. I mean, the reason why I bring this up is because I hear this all the time, you know, and I mean, even from parents who I watched them raise their children, and you know, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but for all practice, you know, we were just talking about someone who we knew from the time he was a baby and died tragically, you know, probably about a half a year ago, I think it was.
Yes.
Killed. But, you know, you got wrapped up in the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But you, as I was telling somebody yesterday, you know, you having been here for so long in this parish, I've watched so many young people grow up from the time they're born until to the time they're adults. And, you know, when the light goes out of their eyes, you know, the light meaning the loss of innocence in one way or another. And I get it, and I really feel for the young people today because I think they're up against so much. I can't even, how parents, what a challenge to raise a family today in this world the way it is. And but this kind of, you know, I mention often breeding narcissism, you know. Yeah, okay, so you had to go to, you know, I don't know the parents. I don't know the whole situation. Was she traumatized by religion, she and her partner, her wife, or whatever they call husband, wife, whatever it is, but it's a woman who's married to another woman, or at least her, she called her girlfriend.
Her girlfriend.
But the, I keep, I mean, if we could humble ourselves and say, you know, yeah, we're all messed up. The world is messed up. We're born into a messed up world, a disordered world. And when I say we're all messed up, I don't mean to imply that everybody's nuts or crazy, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be.
That we all wounded. Have something.
However you want to define that, you know. But the point is that don't we all struggle to stay on the narrow path and to keep the commandments of God and to remain in the discipline of the faith, knowing that we deviate, we get back on the path. I mean, the scripture says that the just man sins seven times a day. They wouldn't be grave sins, but when Peter said, Lord, how many times a day do I forgive my brother? Seven times. And Jesus says, no, 70 times, not seven, but 70 times. The Lord said, yeah, it's a difficult path. It's a narrow path. You can stay on it. And Peter said, well, Lord, how can man be saved? And Jesus said, for man it's impossible, not for God. All things are possible for God. God desires our salvation. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent his only begotten Son to offer himself, the Lamb of Sacrifice, to atone, expiate for our sins, to make reparation. Set us free from our slavery to sin. To take the sting out of death. We're still sinners. We haven't yet died, so we're being constantly bathed in the bath of his precious blood. Every time we go to Holy Mass, we nurture our life in God through prayer. We ask the Lord to help us get through this life and help us to do what is right and good, to stay on this path. At the end of the day, what do we do as Catholics? We speak about this examination of conscience. We look back over the day. What did I do? How did I live my life? But the implication in the article that I was reading was that somehow those who adhere to religion are really bad people. And bad for what reason? Yeah, there are those. I mean, my gosh, Jesus had 12 apostles. One betrayed him, sold him out. I've said many times, if we can, and this is probably part of the problem in this day in which we're living, this revisionist history, but it could be the history of each and every one of us in a very personal way, or the history of our nation, or the history of the church. People want to revise history, but looking back and with a focus on all the bad things that happened, all the deviations and the dark stuff. But as I've said many times, you know, we don't, for 2,000 years, our focus has not been on Judas Iscariot. Our focal point, our person of reference, is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, who laid out a blueprint, who said, I take none of the commandments away. They're binding on all people for all time. God, we see, yes, bad things have happened over the course of 2,000 years, many bad things. Many bad things are happening today. There's a infiltration of evil and corruption and the like. We're the church militant. We're in the battle. I mean, Jesus says, Peter, I pray for you because you got to strengthen your brothers because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. Some people use religion for. I mean, so maybe these two women were traumatized somehow or another. I don't know the backstory, just what they've said. But they want this safe, their home to be a safe space away from any kind of religion. That there be no mention of religion, as the article would say, no mention of religion, no symbols of religion, no iconography, nothing that would even call anyone's attention to religion. And so they even so much so that her mother, as she said, they admittedly they had a difficult relationship, but they have a relationship. But the mother, when she comes, must cover up her crucifix. That seems a bit extreme to me. And you wonder. Well, first of all, the woman's got issues. You know, she's got to reconcile with her own past, and as we all do. You know, again, to varying degrees, right? Yeah. Some people suffer more than others. The trauma of life. It could be from the family. It could be from the school. It could be, you know, the point is you're never going to find a perfect school. You're not going to find a perfect church. You're not going to find perfect parents or a perfect family. We're all in the battle. It's a spiritual battle. And
I think, Father, that there's something more to the story. Because my experience growing up, I thank God that my dad brought us to church, taught us the faith.
Right.
And when I was a child, we used to come. They had the, in Spanish, Adoración Nocturna, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And I'll never forget, I was about three or four, and I'll never forget when they would raise the monstrance, and then I could see the incense, and the spotlight was on the monstrance, and I thought, and the singing as well,
right,
while they were exposing the Blessed Sacrament. And to me, that was beautiful. It was, I was taken, elevated. I felt like I was home,
right,
that I was in heaven. And that image, that experience, I'll never forget it. It's still in my heart.
You know, it's interesting you say that because, I talked to a couple yesterday. I'm preparing them for marriage, and there was a lot of, this is going back to when we had a lot of gang activity and all that. And I remember, and it was amazing that she looks so much like her mother now, but her mother would have been even maybe younger than she is now. But her brother was killed and by the gangs. And I remember the day, we're going back perhaps, my gosh, it had to be in the first years that I was here, so we're going back maybe 30 years. And I remember the day going to the home and being with the family soon after the young man was shot and killed. And going back to what you're saying is, how many people, because they don't live in the neighborhood now, of course, most people have gone away, and they're either, a lot of our people have, from way back then, have gone to Texas or Indiana, Michigan, some back to Mexico or...
Or Wisconsin.
Wisconsin and the like, or out into the suburbs. And, you know, they're not in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The neighborhood isn't what it was then when I got here. And while it was bad insofar as we had a lot of gang violence, it was also, we had a lot of beautiful, wonderful things that happened. So we had street processions, and we did retreats, and we had drama for the kids to try to keep them off the street. But to your point, how many come back and say the same thing you're saying, that, you know, this place brings me back to a safe place.
Yes. So that's what I'm thinking. When they think of safe space, aside from not knowing what that means right now, you think of, and I went back to some of the movies I've seen,
right,
where, you know, evil stays away from a cross. Evil stays away from a priest, right. And it's just it's. I can't believe how messed up the mind is. For if you have a hate toward God or religion, you tend to say, "Well, okay, nothing is going to be here a reflection of a cross or rosary,"
right.
You know, and you think you're doing the right thing or whatever that defect in your mind is, right. When in reality, it's just the opposite. Yeah. How the devil turns it around. It's just...
Right. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so true. And I think the bottom line is, and that's why, you know, daily prayer, that's why I can't but keep repeating to our students, you know, wake up in the morning, make the sign of the cross, wrap yourself in the life of the Holy Trinity, get into the work of the day. Life is not easy. I had the confirmandi... The students that are eighth graders preparing for confirmation, I had them yesterday. We gathered in the sacristy around that crucifix, and so I spoke to them. You know, we had the class there, and they're at that age. You know, nobody wants to really be very vocal about the.
They think they're too cool.
They're self-conscious. They're insecure. You know, and so, you know, I don't want. Like, because I mentioned, you know, I said, well, three of you were here for the whole Triduum.
Right.
And they didn't, you know.
They didn't say, oh, yes, Father.
No, right. So it's like, I don't want people to know that, you know, that I was the one that was at Mass all three. I was at the church for
the
Father, whole
you
whole
have
Triduum.
To, even for adults. I mean, I unless there are people out there that don't want to hear something 100 times, I need to hear something 100 times. That reminder, I think, is what went wrong. As the years went by, when, you know, priests, you know, Pope, whatever, cardinals didn't focus on that. I mean, I've learned so much in the 10, 20 years, shouldn't say it that way, but, you know, that I've never knew. And
we're
I
always
went.
Learning.
Yeah.
Always learning.
And it's every day when you, like, even when we talk about the readings, we hear something different than we've heard, and we've read the reading hundreds of times. I mean, I think that's what the Word of God is.
But see what we'll take a break, and then we'll come back to Mary Magdalene. I want to try to address that, which is it's not an easy topic. You know, why Jesus says, do not touch me, or do not hold on to me, and yet he told Thomas, put your finger into the wound of my hand, into the wound of your hand, into the wound in my side. But we'll do that when we come back from the break. I think the problem is really, quite honestly, is certainly it's the enemies of the soul, the world that does not acknowledge God, the free reign of the flesh, and the devil who does seduce, deceive, and create the illusion and is the accuser. And I think, you know, because it is a narrow path, it is a discipline. It is obedience to the commandments of God. I think the bottom line is people don't want the discipline. Or it goes back to the very beginning. I will not serve God. We want to make ourselves our own gods. We want to do. I remember the young girl who said no, young woman rather, who told me, no, I don't. You know, God and I, we figured it, we work it out our way, you know. I don't need the church or the commandments. God and I, we have our own, well, that's diabolical, right? Mm-hmm. But so I think, you know, if we understand that we're in this, like I was telling the students yesterday, you know, and we talked about, as I was sharing, it was really the gospel was the disciples on the road to Emmaus, you know, how we forget, we have to come back. Every time we come to Mass, we're reminded, we open up the scriptures, and we're, all this was foretold and all that. But I, you know, I acknowledged, you know, that in the world, you're up against so much, but don't, and I talked about these enemies of the soul, and, you know, don't be, and that our faith is a discipline, but that you, you know, gratitude, that we have been created by God, redeemed by God, and that the Lord who created us wants to sanctify us. In other words, bring us into our true selves. Not that we live falsehood or you know, in a false way, but that we live in the reality of who we are as created by God in beauty and goodness in His image and likeness. But it is a discipline, and that's, I'm more and more convinced, the problem is we don't want the discipline. Mm-hmm. We want to do our thing, and the world is very seductive, so it's I say of myself as a priest, and this is always the temptation. Not so much for me, because I can't be what I'm not, where we think we can morph the Mass into a kind of celebration where people, and I was talking to this couple about that, the woman I've known from the time she was a small girl, is getting married. She's much older now, getting married late in life, but I mean, she's not old, but you know what I'm saying. It's, mm-hmm. At the time that her brother died, her mother was probably her age or maybe even younger. But the that, and I forget the point that I was going to make. I think it's that. But the fact is that people do get caught up in the world, in the ways of the world. They're going to succumb to all kinds of things because, well, the world, you know, it's again, it's the wide path, mm-hmm. to damnation, a very narrow path to heaven. But if you go the way of the world, it may be fine initially, but eventually it comes back to bite you. You know, you're bound into a kind of slavery and I said, just open your eyes and look around and see what people do to themselves, what they've done to others. I watched this thing when I was in Rochester. I watched this. It was something about these three kids that they murdered somebody in Florida. They murdered a mutual friend. There was kind of like a love triangle or whatever, you know, and it was just the saddest thing, because they showed them, it was all on film, not the killing, but the. As they took each of them, trial. Well, yeah. Even before the trial, it was what brought them to convict them. You know, so
interrogation,
yeah. and talked to each one separately, and it showed all that, and it's just a complete lack of regard for life, for morality, for goodness, even to the point that when they were all caught. You know, after they had to, you know, try to weasel themselves away out of their own lies, mm-hmm. because everybody was being interrogated separately.
Right. Matching the story.
Right.
And these, I don't know if you call them prosecutors, not whatever they, the police or who, yes. whomever, they
pick up on inconsistencies in that.
Absolutely, yeah. And so when they finally, and then they show them in the room, so as they're interrogating one and three others, and when they realize that they've been caught, it's like there isn't remorse for what they did, how they brutally murdered this a peer, a friend of theirs, so-called friend, or they were so-called friends to this guy they murdered. But it was no remorse for what they did, but it was, oh, no, this means I'm going to go to prison. And this, you know, it's
they're only thinking of themselves. You said, narcissistic.
Yeah, breeding narcissism, yeah. But anyway, but yes, people then are bitten by the world or bitten by their own bad actions, have to face the consequences. And when they come back here, it's like, you know, this is the place of encounter.
Yeah.
But if you can just stay in the discipline, then that's what people still, though, some do, some don't. You know, though, in the crisis, they'll come back, and they know that this is where they should be. This is where they have a genuine peace. This is where they're being, where truth is spoken to them. It's like coming back to the house of my father, right? Mm-hmm. The story of the prodigal son. But do I stay in my father's house, or do I go back and squander everything that's been given to me, my dignity, my identity, my grace, you know, the grace, the beauty, the goodness, and all that? And the world is so, the seduction, the deceptions are so deep, so powerful, that it's very hard for people, because the world says basically, you don't need this, you don't want this. The church is, apart from bad elements in the church, you know, the truth, again, the person in reference here is Jesus Christ, who comes to us in the sacraments, in the Word of God, and to the extent that we allow Him to abide within us and we nurture that relationship, we find what will set us truly free. But the world will try. But it means a discipline, and the world says, no, you don't. You know, why do you suffer that discipline? Boy, you can have it all, you know.
And that's where the world is so wrong. You mentioned about the lack of humility. The world sees humility as a weakness, and it's not. There's a strength that God Himself humbled Himself,
right,
being God. And when they don't want the discipline of the faith, they feel that they're being we're being limited, and it's actually freedom that is given to us,
right,
when we...
It's all turned around.
It's all turned around.
Diabolical, right, disorientation.
It's like you come to this realization, I think, and I hate to say it, well, since it is my birthday, the older you get, you start realizing you can't say this to younger people.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll listen to you. Some that are wise will listen. Like I remember, too, when I was younger, much younger, I heard all this stuff, and I said, well, whatever. But I almost wish to this day, I keep saying, if I would have known these things 10, 20 years ago,
right,
maybe my life would have been different.
Yeah, and again, it goes—
Not that it's so bad.
But no, it's not. But this is where parents keep asking, where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? And we as priests, we ask ourselves as well.
Yeah. You know?
Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll just wrap up by addressing the question of— why Jesus told Mary Magdalene, the risen Lord, do not touch me. And yet Thomas and others were able to touch him. We'll look at that. Anyway, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ. And on 88.5 FM WFSI.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, TNTC. Wait, yeah, TNTC. TNTC. Tony, Nick, Tony, and Christina. So the question, you know, to Darlene, and I hope, I don't know that I'm going to do real justice to her question, but it is a question. I've come around this block many, many times, and as I was talking to Barb in the office, because I asked her, say, hey, by the way, I have a question. In 1 minute, can you tell me why did Jesus not, or he told St. Mary Magdalene, do not touch me, and yet he told Thomas, you know, put your finger in the wound of my hand and your hand in the wound of my side. And of course, there were the other instances where the women who went to the tomb touched him. So, and as we were, you know, just briefly talking about it, it's like this has been studied or wondered about for right. 2,000 years. And a lot of it has to do with translations and we've got the four Gospels. It's the same story, but there are little variations here and there, and it's not so much the details. You get into the story, you get it. I was telling the people the other day at Mass, you got to, you know, pray the Gospels, get in there and see what you know. There's so much more than meets the eye. You know, when Jesus said to the apostles, do you wish to leave me as well? And those disciples left, and Peter said, Lord, where do we go? He says, we come to believe you have the words of everlasting life. I had the words, you know, where do we go? I mean, maybe we don't understand. Maybe this is beyond our, you know, we choose to stay. But in any case, in the case of Mary Magdalene, you know, all four Gospels testify to the fact that Mary Magdalene is among the women who go to the tomb of Jesus early in the morning on the first day of the week and find the tomb empty. In the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene apparently separates herself from the other women and goes off to tell Simon Peter the startling news. Peter and John, they run to the tomb. They find it empty, and John says he came to believe when he saw the burial cloths of Jesus lying on the floor in the empty tomb. Peter and John, they go away, but Mary remains, peers into the tomb, sees a vision of two angels, and then weeping, she'll ask where the Lord was taken. She turns, and suddenly Jesus is there, but she doesn't immediately recognize him. That's another question we can deal with later. This happens with many. This non-recognition of their master in his glorified body is the typical first impression of the disciples who encounter the risen Christ. It happens on the road to Emmaus. When Jesus calls her by name, she replies. That's when she recognizes him. She says, Rabboni. It's then that Jesus tells her not to touch him, giving as the reason for this the fact that he has not yet ascended to his Father. So this whole theme of not touching has been prominent in many representations. Now, understand that in the Latin, the word is "do not touch me." But what we read in the New American, what we read in it'll be read in the Gospel of the Day, in the Greek, it's "don't hold on to me, don't cling to me." When Mary Magdalene, in her great joy at recognizing Jesus alive after what had seemed to be the irreparable loss of Good Friday, attempted to do this, to cling to him, to hold on to him. We also know that in Matthew's gospel that the women embrace the feet of the risen Jesus when they see him for the first time. And he doesn't tell them, "don't touch me." But the point here is, you know, if we understand, if we can distinguish between "don't touch" and "don't cling to me," "don't hold on to me," you know, to drop the word "touch," there's a difference, you know. But why does Jesus not want Mary Magdalene to touch or cling to him? Because, again, he tells Thomas to touch him. "Put your finger here," but he uses what he really "touch." He didn't say "don't cling to me," or he doesn't say "cling to me, embrace me, hold on to me." He just says "touch the wound here." But the point is,
could it be Father? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Could it be? You know how the Son always points us to the Father. He doesn't point us to himself, but to the Father.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I don't know. Right. I could be wrong.
No, it
makes sense.
That's part of it, because Mary is seeing him in her joy. She, sure, no doubt, throws herself toward him. But Jesus, in effect, says to her, "Do not yet. I'm not back among you for good. Mm-hmm. My saving work will, in fact, not be completed until I send you the Holy Spirit, as I promised I would, to be with you always and return again. And I return again." So, in other words, he says he was leaving the world and going to the Father. That is, he was ascending to the Father, as he again tells Mary this time around. There is, because we're just out of time here, but...
We know we attach ourselves to people and loved ones, and when they pass away, then, you know, the separation is very painful. Not that... Right, Jesus, well, he resurrected and he was going to be gone physically, so he didn't want. I don't know. I'm just, all these thoughts are coming.
Well, he's got to fulfill his mission. He has to return to the Father in order to send the Holy Spirit, so that he would then be able to abide within us, and even then we're still in the exile. So we don't have time, but I was, because I wanted to look at Peter as well, but it's just the interesting reaction of the disciples before the ascension and after Pentecost, because that's where you see this radical transformation, because they've been imbued with the Spirit of God. And now they can cleave to Jesus. We say we have to cleave to him. Mm-hmm. He's closer. In a sense, we have an advantage post-Pentecost than they had prior to Pentecost. Anyway, we'll try to come back,
let's come back to this tomorrow.
A little bit tomorrow. So it's all right, everybody. Thanks for being with us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace
Amen.
Be with you. Ciao.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now.